Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 787, Bait, recorded live on July 8th, 2021. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Godzilla T.
And we are back after a little bit of a hiatus. We took a couple of podcasts off air. The first one we did was with Forge Hub. We made our announcement, basically saying why we've been torturing everyone with Halo 5 Super Fiesta for the past couple of play sessions on Halo 5.
There was a method to my madness.
Yes, there was. For those who have not heard, for some reason, we announced a partnership event with Forge Hub. We are doing the Fiesta Frenzy Forge Contest and Tournament. So Forge Hub is doing the Forge Contest, which is going on right now, and is going to be open for submissions until August 17th. And then we are doing a tournament here on the Podtacular side. And we will be opening up team registrations right around the same time that the Forge contest submissions end. And during that month of us judging the maps will be the time where you can submit your teams to register for the tournament side of this event, which is going to be oh so crazy because it is Super Fiesta combined with competitive Halo play.
Yes.
It's going to be
competitive Fiesta.
Yes. So think... same radar as competitive, so basically just friendly radar or enhanced movement radar, but the wackiness of random spawn weapons. So we're going to see how well or how poorly that goes with this tournament.
It's either going to be a whole lot of fun or it's going to be a complete and utter nightmare for someone.
Regardless, there's money up for grabs for both events.
Cash.
Yeah. So Forge Hub is having a $2,000 prize pool for the Forge contest. It's typically $1,000, and they managed to get it bumped up to $2,000. There's also some Podtacular swag in the running there as well. And then for the tournament side of things, it's going to be a $2,000 prize pool for the teams playing in the tournament side of things as well. We're hoping for at least 16. 32 would be great. Any more than that is going to be interesting on how we pull that off. So we will see how things go. We might call in some help from some other tournament organizer community types out there just to help soften the blow, because this is the first time we've actually hosted a tournament, I think, that will be of this scale. So we'll see how things go.
Yay.
Yeah.
Oh.
In other news, GT, how things been? We haven't been on the live show for a while, so... How things been in the Todd household? And
yeah, crappy. I have to go to work every day. Well, at least 5 days of the week.
I get to stay home and work every day.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that right now because I'm about to reach through this camera. Anyway, I got to fix my wife's air conditioner on July 4th.
Oh,
I celebrated the independence of this country by trying to tear my arm off. Anyway,
your arm went to be independent from your body.
Yeah. You know, everybody thinks, you know, a Jeep Cherokee is this really big vehicle until you try to work on the engine compartment. And then it's not so big.
Tiny
lots
parts,
of little holes,
lots of little holes.
Anyway,
very good.
No, everything's been going good.
And then game's been good. You've been playing some Halo and some Destiny, or is the Destiny grind kind of
wearing on actually you? I've been kind of taking a hiatus from games. I mean, other than game night, of course.
Sure.
I've had plenty of projects around the house I've been not doing. In other words, I come home, sit on my butt. Anyway.
Well, you're usually moving around most of the day, so your body probably appreciates a rest.
Well, 11,300 and 73 steps today.
It's pretty good. Probably a lot more than a lot of people.
Pretty sure my watch counts putting little parts in little bags as steps. I'm not sure. Because I'm really sure I didn't walk that far today.
I mean, I didn't wear my Fitbit for part of the day because it was charging, but it only says I've taken a little over 2,000 steps today.
You might want to increase that.
Yeah, just maybe.
Put the keyboard on one side of the room and the mouse on the other side of the room. Back in. And just have the monitor horrible. In the middle.
That'd be horrible. Oh, that'd be terrible. Oh, geez. And then I guess for the Fraggin' Friday stuff, how's that been going?
Been going really well. We've been grinding away at Halo 5.
Yep.
Working on those accommodations, trying to get our Achilles armor.
Yeah.
Of course, we haven't been doing a whole lot of that because we've been mostly in Super Fiesta.
However, we do have one that's coming up here very soon.
Yes.
We are literally 13 away from our next one.
Mm-hmm. Getting closer.
Yep, which is the Lucky. Cluster Lux, Last Shot, Sayonara, and Fastball Medals. So that should not take very long.
Yeah, it always amazes me when I get a Last Shot medal because I'm like, really? I was out of bullets?
You just run around on SWAT with like your whole clip emptied except for one and try to get the headshot on somebody.
Well, it's a legitimate strategy.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I've never actually tried it before, but I would assume that's probably a strategy to try.
I'm not that good at it to attempt it, but hey, whatever.
You just camp and wait for someone to come around the corner that you know someone will come around eventually and pop them in the head. There you go. Pew. It's like waiting for you. Bah. Anyways. And then the next one we have is Forgot to Pay the Toll, which is kill the driver of a moving enemy vehicle while using a sniper rifle. That's pretty much Keys territory. Got 121 of those. And then only four more after that. Not too bad. We'll still be grinding for a little bit. Halo Infinite will be out before the
We still time. Got like 4 billion Marines to kill.
Yeah. If anything, we'll get the next two done before Infinite launches. The third one, which is killing enemy Spartan with a grenade, we could get done before Infinite, but we might not.
Check the them grenades!
The last three we are not getting before Infinite comes out. Unless they just decide to have Castle Wars and just let people splatter people with warthogs everywhere. Keys needs to get on the stick then. Yeah, pretty much. As for me, been doing a lot of Among Us with the group that I play with on Sundays as far as gaming goes. We finally have our bathrooms upstairs after all the remodeling that's been going on for 2 months, which should have taken
that's 1 good.
Month. Yeah. We took a shower for the first time today in your nearly new bathroom, 2 months. Huh? Yeah, in our new bathroom in nearly 2 months.
I sure hope you've bathed in the last 2 months.
Oh, yes. We have a full bathroom down here in the basement.
The way you worded that? Yeah, not so much.
Fair point. But yes, we have bathed since then.
Oh, I haven't showered in months. I don't need one.
Yeah, I wouldn't wish that atrocity on anybody. So we've got the upstairs pretty much mostly done. There's a couple of outlying things on our bathrooms that had to be done. One of the brackets on the mirrors that was being put up above the vanity in our master, one of the brackets snapped as they were trying to screw the bracket onto the mirror, so had to get a replacement for that. And then there's a chip in one of the, I think it's like a granite countertop that they got for all of our sinks. So there's a chip in it, and they're going to get it replaced.
Granite.
Yeah. So
stone cold. Oh.
Other than those two things, the upstairs is finally done. It's supposed to take at most 5 weeks when they originally told us, and it took 2 months.
Well,
There's a number of factors.
Things about remodeling is the time they quote you is usually a optimal time, and it very rarely goes optimally because there's always that surprise they find behind the wall.
Well, in our case, it's just that some people didn't show up because people are getting more from unemployment than actually working in some cases.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
and then, you know, then you add the pandemic on top of that. And
yep. And then one of their plumbers got injured, so they only had two plumbers, so they were down an entire, like, half of their plumbers, and they had a number of other jobs going at the same time. So it was just a whole comedy of errors that put us back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, but at work, was it 2 weeks ago, they emptied a container that we've been waiting on since November?
Wait, emptied in, as in you were supposed to get the container empty.
The container was supposed to be here in November. They just unloaded it a couple of weeks ago.
Oh.
So we're kind of behind on our inventory a little bit.
Yeah, about to say, I think November is in 4 months.
No, last
August, November. September, October. Yeah. I'm just making a joke. Yeah.
The ones that we are supposed to get this month, we'll probably get in December.
Judging by the current trend, sounds like it.
Yeah.
And add the COVID delay on there. But no, we're happy that it's done, and it looks great. We're happy with the result. There's, other than the couple of things that need to be fixed, it's really nice to have the upstairs bathroom usable.
That's
it
good.
Wasn't before.
Or just cared not to use it?
If I sat on the toilet, my head was basically 3 inches from the opposing wall, because I kind of sit down like this when I use the bathroom. But shower door was like right up on, like, there was probably maybe 6 inches between the toilet and the shower door on one side, and then like the 12, 15 inches to the sink. So it was, the contractors called it very cozy.
Yeah, cozies. Yeah, that's not what I call it.
And the sliding door for the shower, I had to duck under because it was literally at 6 feet.
Yeah.
The shower door was literally 6 feet tall.
Well, that's not their fault. You shouldn't be so 6'4".
Like, I had a choice in the matter.
You just ate too many Wheaties.
My mom always jokes, well, we could cut you off at the knees. Growing up, that's what she would tell me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But everything is really nice. I might post pictures up of it on Twitter. But we're happy with it. It looks a whole lot better. Feels a whole lot better than it used to. And phase two will start at some point, which is getting natural gas lines installed in the house. And then phase three is installing a half bath out of two closets that we have on the main floor.
Well, that's nice.
Another 3 or 4 months of work on that one.
Start saving up.
Oh, we have the money for it. I mean, it's all part of the contract. It's just a matter of how long is it going to take to actually get done? So.
Anyway. The joys of home ownership.
God, yes. Yes, talk. Exactly.
Anyways,
that's enough about us. Although, one other thing. I have started doing Achieving Halo again. So we started doing Season 7 challenges a couple weeks ago. Obviously, didn't do anything last week because it was 4th of July. We had some friends over. We got our patio done and had friends over to kind of christen that. And we got a fire pit and everything. So we got to watch fireworks from our own backyard because there were a whole crap ton of fireworks fired off in our neighborhood this year.
Yeah, fireworks are illegal in my city.
They're technically illegal in ours as well. It's technically illegal in the state of Maryland. Doesn't stop people from shooting them off.
No, it doesn't.
We got our own show from our own backyard. Yeah. I've never seen so many fireworks.
I was just thankful that by 11 o'clock they'd stopped.
Yeah. We've had ones in the past where they've gone off at midnight. Thankfully, this year, that did not happen.
Oh, I've had years where I was hearing fireworks until 4 o'clock in the morning.
Jeez.
Not just the little ones.
Oh, my gosh.
One dude, I don't know where he was, but he's within a block of my house. He was setting off mortars.
Oh, man.
So, you know, every about 90 seconds you'd hear, boom,
boom. Oh gosh,
whatever.
Anyways, back on the Halo. So we got
Halo.
Go ahead. I spoke over you twice in a row.
How do you know I'm not planning it that way?
I didn't think about that, but fair enough. If that is actually the case,
shall we do the matchmaking updates?
Let's do the matchmaking updates. What we got coming in for Halo 5?
All right. For July 8th, we've got Griff Ball. Rotating in for
Griff Ball.
Rotating in for ODST Slayer. Next weekend, we get Community Slayer and Warzone Assault goes live. For July 22nd, Action Sack rotates in. And we get CE Anniversary Throwback rotating in on the 29th. And also on the 29th,
Warzone Turbo!
It's turbo time!
It's turbo-tastic!
So that finishes up the month of July. So I hope everybody's having fun with the rotating playlists.
Keeps things fresh.
Mix things up.
Yeah. This is the first time they've actually done that, I think, with like Halo 5 and MCC. So it's nice that they have a kind of a rotation to keep people coming back to have different things for multiplayer. So it's nice.
Yeah. Then for Master Chief Collection, we have Griff Ball. Grace goes back into the query. Shit. I didn't even get a chance to play it this time.
I didn't either. Is this one of the first times, if not the first time, that the Griff Balls actually have matched up across Master Chief and Halo 5? Because they've usually been like 1 week off before.
I don't know. I honestly haven't played that much attention to it.
I feel like this is one of the only times that Griff Ball has actually matched up across Halo 5 and the Master Chief Collection.
Maybe it was planned that way. You think?
I mean, I think it makes the most sense, but I think this is the first time it's actually happened. I could be mistaken. I could very well be mistaken, but
who knows? Maybe TJ said, hey, guys.
Right.
You know, when you put Griff Ball in Halo 5, you might do it in MCC too. Anyway, for the ranked playlists, we get H3 Hardcore Doubles rotating in, and then just Team Doubles rotating out.
So I think Hardcore is a little bit different as far as starting weapons and the radar.
Mm-hmm.
So nearly identical game types rotated out in and out for each other. So, yeah. As far as the MCC and dev and flight updates, there's nothing new, really. We've got pretty much them saying that if you want to be a part of other flights for Infinite, then you might want to be signed up for the Halo Insider, which there have been numerous tweets from plenty of folks from the studio, which leads me to believe that flighting for Infinite is going to be happening very soon, like probably within the next month, if not the next maybe 2 or 3 weeks. So, if for some reason, up until this point, you have not signed up for the Halo Insider program and you want to be a part of Halo Infinite flighting, you need to go to HaloInsider.com and register and make sure that you have all the tick boxes checked for being notified of flights and all that stuff. Yes, Argibu, I think we all want the flights. We're all excited to see how the multiplayer that we've been just gushing over for the past few weeks is going
shoot,
to
shoot, shoot, bang, bang.
That multiplayer, like little smash up that they did from the Xbox showcase, that got me on fire for some for multiplayer. I'm excited to see what we've got.
I really want to play around in BTB. It looks really good.
Yeah, we'll see what the flighting looks like. As far as I hope we get some BTB in there, because I know that's something a lot of people have been asking for. It was something that wasn't really supported out of the gate with Halo 5. Didn't really have a lot of native support as well. So getting that developer-created mode for Big Team is going to be huge. It's going to be a nice return for the Halo franchise.
I honestly do think that they will put BTB in there, because that's the one thing that they've probably changed the most of, you know. I mean, there's lots of changes, don't get me wrong, but all the changes kind of compile into BTB. So I think that will probably be one of the larger tests. Also, that also will stress the network harder, I believe.
Yeah, I could see them possibly doing something along the lines where the first flight might be more arena 4v4, just to kind of work out some of the kinks, and maybe a future flight will be the BTB, but I think BTB is definitely going to be in one of those flights leading up to launch.
Mm-hmm.
Just with everything that they're doing, it's now 12v12, so really need to test that network stability. I mean, we've seen a whole bunch of improvements network-wise for Halo over the, or just for video games in general. So I wouldn't be surprised at any, or I wouldn't expect any issues with the increased player count, especially since we've had 12-on-12 for Warzone, and that's worked out pretty well so far.
Yeah, it's been really stable in Halo 5, so.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the only issues really with it is, I think mostly just the engine rendering at a distance, where it's that lower frame rate animation for enemies off in the distance and the low poly off in the distance. So that's
well,
more.
You engine. Also have to look at the hardware that they got to work with too.
Exactly. Exactly.
So with the Series X, that goes a long way to fixing that problem, and then of course bringing it out on PC. The hardware limitations are of your own making.
And Fuchs and Pens are saying, can't wait to be mediocre at Halo and continue the cycle. I think I'll continue my reign of slightly better than mediocre.
Just slightly
above average.
Slightly above average.
Well, I have my games where I'm absolutely horrible and can't hit the broadside of a barn. And then I have my games that I can snipe. I can no scope people from across the map. I have no consistency when it comes to Halo. I really have no consistency when it comes to Halo.
I'm consistent. My first three games are great, and then all the rest of them just go to crap. It's consistent.
Hey, there you go. So if you're ever playing a tournament, you need to start cold for every single one. It's like you only play the game, and then you stop, and you do nothing else. It's like, okay, I'm just going to
Do anything else for the next 2 days and then come back. Yeah, sure. That exactly. works really well for a tournament.
Yeah, especially when you're playing 15 to 20 games a day.
Yeah.
Yep. We've got a couple of articles from Waypoint. We've got a new cannon fodder, which announced a new Halo book, which I'm like, oh, why did you do this, Grim? Why?
Because he loves you, Dust.
Yes, yes, I know. But anyways, so we do have a new book that was announced. We mentioned this. Actually, no, I didn't have a chance to mention this in the last one, but this one is called The Rubicon Protocol. Rubicon should be a pretty familiar name amongst those that have read the Halo novels, especially the Kelly Gay ones.
Mm-hmm.
The cover is by Pixel Flare, so nice to see his stuff continuing. We've got a raid from Hayden.
It's actually rather tame.
Thank you, Hayden.
Compared to most of his artwork.
It is, which is a little surprising. I mean, you can kind of get a little bit of the Pixel flare.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. It's a lot more down to earth and a little more tame than the flashy lens flare, very vibrant color type stuff that we normally get.
It looks really good, and it always impresses me when I see his work,
it really does.
Of, if it's something custom, like he's made for us, or if it's a book cover. It always impresses me, just the talent that comes out of what he does.
Mm-hmm. And this one's actually taking place on Installation 07.
Mm-hmm. You can see the big hole in the background.
Yeah. So this book might be a follow-up to Halo Infinite's story. Maybe a prelude to it.
Mm.
I mean, I haven't read all the fine detail in there. Yeah. I did see the part in here where it says that this book stands on its own compared to the Halo Infinite story. But it is on Zeta Halo. And I guess we'll see where in the timeline it fits. So, Pens, get your timesheet ready. Eric Kapoor is saying it's coming. Like a prequel. It's a coming.
Somebody's got to get caught up on books.
I've got three that I'm going through right now. And then there's two more that's been announced. So, the next one that's releasing is Divine Wind by Troy Denning. That one comes out on October 19th. I have a feeling we'll probably not get Infinite any earlier than that. I'm assuming this book is probably a prelude to Infinite. So at least that probably gives us a no earlier than date for Halo Infinite's release. I would suspect. We do have a little synopsis for Divine Wind now, though. So October 2559, with the galaxy in the suffocating grip of a renegade artificial intelligence, another perilous threat has quietly emerged in the shadows, the Keepers of the One Freedom. A fanatical and merciless Covenant splinter group has made its way beyond the borders of the galaxy to an ancient foreigner installation known as the Ark. Led by an infamous brute named Castor, the Keepers intend to achieve what the Covenant in all of its might failed to. Activate Halo and take the last steps on the path to the great journey into transcendence. But unknown to Castor and his new unexpected ally on the Ark, there are traitors to the cause in their midst. Namely, the Ferrets. Composed of Oni, our Office of Naval Intelligence operative Veta Lopez. Ooh! And her young team of Spartan 3s. Oh, this will be interesting. Who have been infiltrating the Keepers to lay the groundwork for Castor's assassination. But with Oni's field operations now splintered and cut off by the Guardian threat, Veta's original mission has suddenly and dramatically escalated in scope. There's simply no choice or fallback plan. Either the Ferrets somehow stop the Keepers, or the galaxy faces an extinction-level event. This'll be interesting. Veta Lopez is back. Wow. I honestly hadn't thought when we would see her next, or if we would see her again.
Yeah, I didn't know if they were going to bring the Ferrets and her back ever, but
I didn't think so either.
I'm glad that they, I'm glad that they're doing that, they're a good group of characters, and I truly missed them, after Last Light.
Yeah. It's interesting to have like the Spartan 3s back in that aspect, and like the whole story with Intrepid Eye, and I forget what the planet was that they were on, but just the detective work that she did and kind of like stepping into big shoes that was kind of bigger than herself in that storyline. And now she's in the clutches of probably one of the biggest remnants of Covenant, or one of the biggest remnants of the Covenant as far as a threat to the galaxy, with the Halo, trying to activate the Halo ring. So no, Pins, I have not. I'm 3 books behind. We've been over this.
Hence my comment in Discord about 2 weeks ago.
I still have Silent Storm, Oblivion, and Shadows of Reach to read. Those are the 3 that I have not read yet. At least it's only 3 Halo books I haven't read compared to the 17 that it was 3 years ago. Okay.
Yeah, at least we're working on books that were released this decade.
Touche. So we got that for Divine Wind for the Cannon Fodder. So thanks, Grim, for the update on that. Nice little synopsis. Definitely has us intrigued. We've also got a community spotlight from last week. We actually haven't had one in a while, so I'm surprised it took this long to... I'm not trying to, like, obviously rat on Snickerdoodle. She does a fantastic job pulling these things together, but not having a spotlight for a while after the Xbox presentation was a little surprising, because I think the past one she was, like, right on it the week after, but probably a lot of stuff going on with the game releasing and some other things going on, but... There is a whole lot of artwork for the weapon.
Do you think there's a theme for this one?
There's a distinct theme for this one. Lots of things with the different armor customization, a whole heck of a lot with the weapon. A lot of things with the new armor, the Shinobi armor?
Yeah. Oh, there we go. I finally got past all the weapon pictures.
Right? You have to scroll down about halfway
through the page.
Yes. You literally have to go halfway through the page to get through all of the art for the weapon.
And then she comes back. Oh.
Yeah, in numerous different ways. Someone made a little personal AI out of the like a little knitting yarn thing. Or not knitting yarn, but one of those like knitting things that you can make. Yeah, it's pretty much all Infinite themed, whether it's the customization, the weapon, all in all, pretty much that's what we were expecting.
Well, I was expecting some of it, but not that much.
go check out the update. There's lots of cool things in here. The Doodle Snickers, the very last one, the Cortuna, is pretty funny. So go check it out. And then we've got a community update that was posted earlier today. That's where we got our Halo 5 playlist update. We've also got a couple other things that they summed up that we talked about already, that there's a new designing for the Halo esports ecosystem, talking about teams and team partnership. Looking over the article, Tashi said that this is going to be one of the first times that there's going to be a direct partnership from the studio with teams as far as the competitive scene goes. So if you want to learn more about what they're doing for teams coming into the HCS for Halo Infinite, go on over and give that a read. We've also got the Season 7 stuff, which we've already talked about before. There's also an Xbox Fan Fest tournament that's happening this weekend. There's a Halo 3 2v2 starting tomorrow, which is July 9th. So by the time you're listening to this podcast, it's probably a little late on that. But if you're listening to us live, then head on over to smash.gg. The series will conclude on July 31st. So we'll have to see if we recognize any names coming out of that. There's another Cliptrocity, which we've got Gilkey, MLG Ace, and Blitz topping off the Kiltrocity for this past month. And we've got a few little extras as well. There is a new victory nameplate that can be earned by participating in official or grassroots partner tournaments or winning against grassroots during grassroots playdates. A couple other tournaments coming up as well. There's some hosted by Europa Halo and SWAT Nation. And there is a new kind of Halo Infinite statue, Master Chief with a grapple shot. There's an exclusive Red Sword variant that's being sold at Best Buy. And then there's a Blue Energy Sword variant that's being sold everywhere else. So for those that want some more Halo Infinite statues, then feel free to check this out. Got some more Funko Pops. Got some other hoodies, t-shirts, and other gear that's being put out there by the Xbox product team. And that pretty much wraps up the community update for this week. And we've got a new Halo 5 screenshot in 4K at the bottom of the update for you to check out. On the community muting side of things, we've got Steve Downs' birthday was a couple weeks ago on June 28th. So happy birthday to the voice of Master Chief. Fiction Friday from last week. The Shadow is a Covenant transport designed to carry troops and vehicles into combat. Good old Halo 2. I think that's the only time that we've seen that vehicle.
Yeah, it is, actually.
I don't think we've seen it anywhere else in Halo. And then we've got Halopedia's latest Trivia Tuesday and Lore Thursday. You want to touch on those, GT?
Sure. Let me get back to them since somebody tends to bounce around.
Yeah, I forgot there was one other thing on that first page.
I'm like, okay, let's get ready. You didn't poop. Squirrel. Oh,
I would love to see the Spectre back, Fuchs. That was a nice vehicle. That was actually like a good Warthog equivalent. Yeah. I feel like it was. I think it was underappreciated.
Definitely underused.
Well, yeah.
But actually, in campaign, I don't think anybody ever used it. Everybody went and got the Wraith.
Well, there's some certain stress that Spectres are more useful for.
Yeah. Not when you're just playing the campaign.
Oh, no. For sure.
But anyway.
Imagine a Goss equivalent of a Spectre.
The Goss Spectre. Boom. Anyway.
Like a fuel rod Spectre. Ooh. Or something like that. I mean, that'd be like a Rocket Hog equivalent, right?
Yeah. Well, no, not really, because fuel rods kind of go.
Well, as far as like fuel rods have typically been the Covenant version of the human rockets, so.
True.
Just a thought.
Yeah, but they have more in common with a mortar shot than they do a rocket.
Yes, that's true.
In real life. You know, because, yes, you know, true. We have plasma-based weapons in real life. Sure. Totally. Anyway, Halopedia's Trivia Tuesday.
I have my backyard.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Imagine that. I use it to kill mosquitoes.
And then there's a big hole in my back fence, and my neighbor's wondering, why is there a big hole in my back fence?
Why does the back of my house keep melting?
I thought I turned off the grill.
This is some crappy siding. I should have gone with steel.
I'm sorry. I really got you on that tangent. Oh, good stuff.
We didn't go into left field. We went into the parking lot. Anyway, did you know that Halo Spartan Assault was called Halo Boot Camp during development? An image found in the code shows its former name and level layout before gaining its final name. Interesting. Head over to Halopedia's Twitter if you want to check out the image they associate with it.
I did not know that was a thing. And
me neither. Of course, I don't really dig into the code of games, so, you know.
I'm surprised that's still in the code.
Look at all the stuff that's still in Halo 2 and Halo 3. I mean, in Halo 2, there was a whole level.
Still, well, I mean, a level's different than...
Most of a level.
Fair point.
For Halopedia's Lore Thursday, the prelates were an order of augmented Sanshum that the Covenant hoped would prove a match for Spartans. Tembatek, believed to be the last prelate, died in 2553. However, it seems another has appeared in installation.
As part of Divine Wind.
Yes.
Very interesting. The prophets are back. Now, when's the flood coming back? That's actually pretty good. Have you been practicing?
No, I've just been playing Halo for the last 20 freaking years.
As long as we don't have to deal with the same fuel rod thrones. That is true. Prophet's thrones. They're a pain. So that's all we've got for the news. For our topic this week, we're going to be discussing some multiplayer stuff with Halo. We're going to kind of take a step in a little bit different direction for topics leading up to Infinite. We want to kind of just take a look back at what Halo has meant to us over the past 20 years, since Halo's been out for that long. And with...
It's been about 20 pounds to me. Oh.
Probably been a little bit more to that to me. Pizza. Chips.
Donuts.
Donuts. Mountain Dew.
Anyway. Fuzzy or tongue.
Game fuel.
Even worse.
Ruler Spartan's been like drinking his 11-year-old game fuel that he has from back in the Halo 3 launch. It's like, why do you torment yourself with those? I just don't know.
I'm tempted to crack it open just to get the thought of the taste out of my mouth.
The Moa burger chips.
The Moa burger chips.
So, anyways, shout outs to Real Life Spartan. But yeah.
That's
just too much.
Go for it,
dude. But
you got all your shots.
Not for us. Even if I drank soda, I wouldn't want to torment my digestive system with how old that stuff is.
Well, you know, anyways. A lot of that stuff's, you know, got a shelf life that'll outlast a nuclear blast. So
I know, but I mean, soda goes flat and tastes change.
I don't know that I'd want to test that.
Well, thankfully he has, I guess. Or I don't know why I said thankfully to that. He has.
You know, the only thing that's going to be left after nuclear war is Twinkies and roaches. So
true that. So since it seems like the flighting for multiplayer is coming out very soon, as all the tweets seem to indicate, we thought it might be interesting to take a look back at the evolution of Halo's multiplayer.
That
kind of came out a little weird, didn't it? The evolution of Halo's multiplayer. Things that we like from the past Halo games, things that we've seen improvements on just with the games and throughout the game industry, and where we would like to see some of the multiplayer stuff land up in Infinite, from things that we may not have seen yet or are still kind of looming in the shadows. So, GT, you have a little bit more of a history with Halo than I do. So what was your kind of first experience with Halo multiplayer?
My name was Bait. So extrapolate from there.
Were you successful, Bait?
Oh, yeah, I was really successful at being Bait. Yeah, there's nothing like, trying to get from the edge of Blood Gulch into the base so you can grab the sniper before the guy that's been killing you for the last 10 minutes gets a reload. And you pop your head off, and then you pop your head up and die. Because the other guy at the other end of the canyon has already got their sniper. Yeah.
So you're there to tease them and distract them for other people to try to take them out that have the sniper.
Yeah, sure. No. Anyway.
So aside from being Bait,
honestly, my first experiences with Halo were really frustrating because I wasn't a shooter. I didn't play shooters. Halo is the first shooter game of any type that I ever played, whether it be first or third. The closest thing I'd been to a shooter game is Mario Brothers when you get the fireball ability. That's it.
So no GoldenEye, no Doom.
No.
Wow.
In the time that I grew up, video games were really in their infancy. When I was of the typical video game age, they just didn't exist. When I was growing up, we didn't even get an Atari until I was, how old was I? Probably 16, 17, a 2600.
Okay.
But before that, the only video game console I'd ever played was Pong. And it was a box that was about 30 inches wide.
Oh,
30 inches wide. It was 12 inches deep. It was a good 6 inches thick. And it had two giant knobs on either side, to control your paddle. And then you had basically flip switches in the middle to pick which game you wanted to play, whether it was you were playing you and the computer or, two people or four people.
Oh, there is four.
Oh, sorry. Pong? No, that was another one. This one was just two people. Never mind. And then there was one that changed the size of the paddle. It very rudimentary game. So going from, in my history, I was never really into video games because they didn't exist at a level that was accessible to me. Don't get me wrong. I'd been to arcades and stuff, and I played the heck out of Pac-Man and Galaga, but that's pretty much the limit to my video game experience. My brother got a Nintendo, and we'd go in there and we'd play Super Mario Brothers. I really have a very limited selection of games that I've played a lot. So moving into Halo, it was very frustrating for me because I didn't develop the natural ability like a lot of people have to operate the two separate sticks, to have your motion on one and your look on the other. And it was to watch me play Halo at first was comical. I'm the guy that you see in matchmaking with his gun out going like this, just all over the place. because he can't control the character.
I remember when I was like that on Halo 3, just with controller, it was such a different experience from PC, but yeah,
well, go ahead. Like I said, I never played PC games. You know, the only PC we had when I was growing up was the original Mac. That's it. And yeah, about the only thing I ever did on that was maybe type up a Word document every once in a while. That's it. You know, I never really did anything with it. But yeah, it's so I came into Halo with a much different perspective than a lot of the audience that was already in Halo. I started playing it probably a good 6-7 months after launch. So, you know, the buzz was already out. You know, I wasn't there at the launch of Halo, but, you know, like I said, I was there in that first year because a friend had brought it over. And at the time, we'd been playing mainly racing games, and he brought his Xbox over with Halo, and he had extra controllers, and we literally played 3-person split screen.
Very nice.
And
on the low res it was back in the day.
Oh, yeah. You know, it was a 32-inch TV. So, you know, screen was like 6 inches.
Was it 640p or 480p, or do you even remember?
I couldn't remember. It was probably 480p because it wasn't a high-end television. It was an experience. You know, I played like that, and then my wife actually stuck an Xbox on layaway at Walmart and bought me the Halo game with it, of course. Well, no, she bought the Halo game to go with it. And, you know, I got that for Christmas that year, and I played the heck out of it. I probably spent the first month just going through campaign over and over and over and over again. And the funny thing is, with the TV I had and the crappy speakers I had, I didn't even know Cortana was there for almost 3 weeks. Well, I didn't know she was in your head.
Oh, so you knew she was there.
I knew she was a character because, you know, when she pops up on the, you know, screen, it's kind of hard to miss her. But yeah, didn't even know she was there because of the crappy speakers. In the background. That's all I could hear.
Oh.
The only time I could really hear characters is, you know, when they were basically face to face with Chief. The volume leveling was, it was weird on my television. I almost, you know, it was close to a year before I actually got to hear most of Cortana's dialogue.
Wow. So you had a very,
I had a crappy TV. I had a really crappy TV.
Cause a jaded experience for Halo, but I don't think that's
It wasn't jaded. It was just
weird.
You know, I missed out on a lot of stuff like that, but
yeah,
it hooked me.
Lacking experience.
The story still hooked me, even though I was missing one of the main characters. That tells you how good the story was to begin with. And that's why when people tell me what's my favorite campaign, it's CE. Because I mean, even with me, even missing that one character for that long of time, the story still hooked me.
That's good. That's a testament to Halo right there.
I was frothing at the mouth for Halo 2 to come out before they even announced it. You know, I hope they make another game. I want more to this story. And at the time, I didn't even know about books.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm not a reader, so yeah, I wouldn't really look for those books. And really, the books didn't come into my perception until Audible came around or audio. You know, I had the ability to play audio books. So, but you know, once I got hooked into that, it's like, I was like, I can't get enough of it. But you know, moving on to Halo 2, and then you get the Arbiter. It's like, oh, cool. New character.
Yep. Whole new side of the story.
Yeah. It's just, you know, I'll always remember CE, even with all the problems that I had with it, with not being able to play, you know, being the bait guy, you know, the guy everybody watches to see who shoots him. So the other person can shoot the person that just shot me. Like, great. Thanks, guys.
Hey, you had a role and you played it well, is what it sounds like, at least. So
I did learn one thing very quickly. Three people in Blood Gulch?
No. That game will take forever.
No, it didn't take long because I was busy running around showing everybody where everybody else was.
That's only if you're only three people, though.
Free for all.
Right.
Yeah. One would shoot me, and then that person would get shot by the other person, and then I'd respawn. I'd go run to the base to try to get a weapon. The other person would shoot me, and then they'd get shot. So it just back and forth. It's like,
Benny Hill music.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. So for the most part, my first experience with Halo multiplayer was with a couple different friends who had an Xbox and had Halo. I had childhood friend from elementary growing up, and then another one that was kind of later in elementary that I kind of kept friendship with throughout junior high and high school. So I wasn't heavily involved into Xbox and Halo, but I was at least aware of it and had played Halo a few times with a few friends. Didn't really start getting heavily interested into Halo until maybe about 2006, which kind of in that year is when I learned of Podtacular, and Red vs. Blue had already been out for a little while, so kind of getting interested in that machinima aspect of things, and starting to kind of, even though I didn't have Halo and couldn't play it for myself personally, getting to hear about how the story was, how the multiplayer was, how fun it was for people to play, and all the experiences that these people were having with the game just kind of translated to me just this kind of excitement of, ooh, I'm really curious about this. So there was a vacation that my family went on to Africa, and I literally listened to the first 50 episodes of Podtacular throughout that whole 2-week trip. And then later that year, I got a laptop for my birthday, basically going into college, and I bought myself a copy of Halo CE on PC, and that's really when I started playing. Started doing game searches on the game browser in Halo CE for PC. And then later in 2007, ended up getting Halo 2 Vista and was playing that throughout college. And then that eventually led me to getting my own Xbox with Christmas money for Christmas of 2007, buying Halo 3, and right where you were at, not knowing how to really use a controller. And I would have to basically either move or look. That's how I started out playing Halo with a controller. I couldn't do both at the same time to start out. And it was really frustrating at first, because like playing the campaign was one thing, because you could kind of at least go through at your own pace on like easy or normal. But once you got into multiplayer, it was not fun. And some of the childhood friends I had growing up, we did play online a little bit and played in like LAN party type situations, or just played each other 1v1 or went through campaign type stuff. But it really wasn't until I got to college that I had the whole LAN party experience, where I would go over to either one, like the co-ed dorm on campus, and we would get Xbox set up at like 9 in the morning, or not 9 in the morning, 9 at night, and play until curfew. And we would have those 3-4 hour games of Capture the Flag on Blood Gulch, and just the all-out bloodbath on Containment and Waterworks, and all those big Halo 2 maps. And like that was my LAN party experience. I know for you, that I don't think you had, or did you have the LAN party experience with Halo 1?
No, actually, I did not, because really,
you were done with probably at your college education at that point or whatever.
College? What's college? Keep in mind that
education when
Halo launched, I was 30 years old.
Yeah.
So I was 30 years old. I was married, had been married for quite a while, but you know, so I came in looking at Halo in a very different light than your typical player. I'm not saying there's not a bunch of 50 year olds out there still playing Halo. I know there are, and I know there's people that are older than me that are still playing Halo and they can kick my ass. But the deal is it honestly cracks me up to listen to people of Dust Age talk about their first experiences with Halo. You know, back when I was in grade school, back when I was in elementary school, I started playing this new game. I'm like, dude, you have any idea how old you just made me feel? Anyway, the one thing that's always attracted me about Halo is its pulling power. It pulls from all different age groups. I mean, just look at me and Dust here. There's 30 years between us. Yep. And we both love the same game. When I was playing Halo CE, I had, you know, we did do LAN parties with about 10 people, 10 to 15 people. At one time we had, I currently live in a duplex, and we were living in a duplex at this time. We had like 6 TVs going.
Nice.
Playing split screen on those 6 TVs.
Yep.
Split screen. The biggest one of those TVs we had was a 32 inch. And that was in my neighbor's living room.
Yeah. I remember in LAN parties, like dragging along any kind of TV you found. So even if it was a small 18 inch TV, you brought that sucker with you.
Oh yeah. We had one of those on the kitchen table. 2 people on that one.
Yeah, there you go. You'd only want to play with 2 people, but now, you still.
If you can snipe across Mud Gulch on that TV, you're in it. You're a pro player.
Yeah.
Cause you know, your reticle, it's about the size of a sewing needle.
Or it's just blurry enough. It's just a blob of.
But yeah, it's a pixel in the middle of a screen. That's all it is. There's no hole. It's just a dot.
It's literally, for the sniper, it's just the dot, 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 and then the empty part in the middle. So, yeah.
So, yeah, I did have some land experience, but what really got me going is when Halo 2 launched with the live service.
With Xbox Halo, Live, yeah.
Halo 2 is the reason I got Xbox Live. And I actually bought 6 month passes for 3 of my friends so we could play. I went ahead and bought a full year, but I actually, mm-hmm. 3 of my friends, I bought the starter kits for, which give you the headset and then the
Xbox Live subscription,
the actual code to, for Xbox Redeem. Live.
Yep.
And, just so I knew I'd have somebody to play with. So, right out of the box, when I got Halo 2, I immediately dumped another $150 just so I could play with my friends on Halo, online. And then after I got them hooked on Xbox Live, then we would do, the couch LAN parties. We'd all be at our own place and we'd all get together and we would, have just we'd have fun. It was crazy. We'd all be in the Xbox party chat and with those crappy headsets. Oh my God, were they awful headsets.
And then you had the ones with the voice filters on.
Really, none of my friends did that. I only really got that when I got into matchmaking.
Okay. That's but nice.
That's where my skills playing Halo improved the most, is because I started playing in online matches and I started matching against people that just would wipe the floor with me. So I had to get good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still working on trying that. I'll let you know if I ever get it. But I've slowly gotten better over the years. Right now, when I take breaks, like I have been lately, my skills fall off, but I do enjoy it. I have enjoyed every single multiplayer for one reason or another. I have hated every multiplayer for one reason or another. Every single multiplayer has had something that bugged me, but the overall experience has trumped that. It's like, you know, Halo 3, the shot registration for me, just, it was crap. I never did get it.
It's difficult. But
when I get together with friends and play, it really didn't matter. I still had fun.
That was the thing with Halo 3. Like, for me and that hit registration on matchmaking and the whole triangle with the reticle thing,
mm-hmm.
was so different compared to Halo CE and Halo 2.
Yeah, it was a big change.
But like you said, going into customs, like, you had fun with customs on Halo 3. That was, you had Forge for the first time. You mm-hmm. had, you could share, you could modify maps and share custom maps and game modes for the first time. Halo has given a lot of firsts to gaming in general.
It's brought a lot of things into the industry that just wasn't there before. The online matchmaking.
Halo.
There were other games that did it, but Halo is what really brought it to the forefront.
Twin stick shooters.
Yeah.
Halo.
There's been a lot of innovation.
And
save films, Forge, screenshots. I think they were necessarily the first to
Forge, but they definitely like helped modernize the aspect of it.
They brought it to a console market.
Yeah.
Which in and itself is amazing. But, you know, Halo has always innovated, and each game is different. There are things that stay similar, but not exactly the same.
Yeah.
You know, you pick up a Halo CE shotgun, and then you pick up a Halo 3 shotgun, and they're not even close to being the same. Yes, nope, they're both shotguns. But they're, you know, the 3 shotgun is nowhere near the CE shotgun. Same for mm-hmm. Halo 2, Halo 4. It didn't matter. With, you know, moving into Halo 4 for multiplayer, when they announced Halo 4's multiplayer, I was with pretty much everybody else. I was not a big fan of Infinity Slayer, because that was the one big thing I didn't like about COD. That,
I think there are a lot of Halo fans that were not too keen on that particular aspect of Halo 4.
But the gameplay itself was fun. I mean, we got this one little thing, the weapon drop for kill streaks. That's the only thing I didn't like. But all the rest of it, I had a blast with it. Same with Reach. Okay, you introduced all these Spartan abilities. Okay, armor abilities. You know, the whole armor lock thing, it frustrated me for about 45 seconds. After that, it wasn't a problem, because I figured out how to combat it. Somebody armor locks, you just stay the hell away from them. Drop a grenade at your feet and wait for them to come out.
It's not that easy now. People know how to use that, like, really quick.
Yeah. But once you figure out that person has armor lock, you change your game style. You change the way you approach that person.
Yep.
You know, it's... And with Reach's customization, it was easy to pick out who had what.
If you could see the back clearly enough, or you just wait for them to use the armor ability.
How many people really switched their loadout in the middle of a Reach game?
Not many.
I would. Just to screw with
Sometimes
people.
Sometimes I would.
Well, you know, like I said, if, say, I was using Bubble Shield. Well, you know, I'd use Bubble Shield for first part of the map match, and people start figuring out, hey, he's got a bubble shield. Maybe I need to approach him a little differently. Okay. Or region fill, whatever it called.
Yeah. I gotcha. Yep.
Well then, I'd switch over to a jetpack, or I ran sprint. I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'm surprised at how many people are choosing like jetpack and armor lock in matchmaking for Reach these days.
Well, it's their jetpack is with a lot of reach maps, it's a great thing useful. To use. I mean, it works really well. Armor lock, it has its use. It's great for vehicles. But once you figure out the person's got armor lock, it doesn't matter how good they are with it. You can still beat it.
Yep. As long as you know what you're going into.
You know, there are some things that changed between the Reach beta and the actual game that I really wish they'd left the same. I honestly like the grenades in the beta better.
I don't even remember the grenades.
Well, the grenades in the beta had more punch.
I thought so. I just wasn't entirely sure.
You know, I thought they were perfect.
Those Reach grenades are huge, though.
You're a Spartan 3, so you're little. You're smaller. Oh.
Not that much smaller. I mean, a little smaller, but not They're that pumpkins. Much smaller.
You're not throwing grenades, you're throwing pumpkins. Anyway. I liked the way the grenade felt in the beta. And once the game came out and they made the changes, I didn't like the grenade as much. It was still useful. It still did its job. I just liked the beta version better. You know, that's just the way I am.
And every game has had that. I mean, Halo 3, everyone loved the trip mine in the beta, and it got super nerfed in the final game. So,
like I said, I didn't get a chance to. I did not play the Halo 3 beta because I was not going to buy a game that was not a Halo game just I could play a Halo beta.
Yeah, I didn't do that either.
Now, I like what they did with Reach and ODST. You bought ODST, you got access to the Reach beta.
That was nice. That was very nice. And I got my only perfect game of Stockpile in the beta.
I remember when I finally got that stupid achievement in Reach for Headhunter. I really wish I still had this film. Stupid dumb luck. I mean, stupid dumb luck. Kill a guy with 8 skulls.
Yep.
I pick all those up. Somebody comes around the corner. I shoot him in the face with a shotgun. He's carrying one, and he, of course, is. That gives me my 10 skulls, and literally the capture point spawns right after I pick up the 10th skull, right where I'm standing. Nice. I'm like, there is no way I'm ever getting this achievement, and boop, achievement unlocked.
The Halo gods were looking kindly on you that day.
No, that was the overkill in Halo 3 on Guardian.
Oh, jeez. I still got some of those.
Last 4 kills of the game were me.
Nice. That's a way to end the game. Gold lift. Very nice.
And the fourth one, to this day, I still cannot figure out how I killed him.
Do you have the same film for it?
No, of course not. Unfortunately, that was on one of my drives that got corrupted.
No.
Yeah. Same
with. I wonder if you can still pull it, even though it says the drive's corrupted, the file is still intact and you can pull it off with Explorer or something like that.
No. I've plugged the drive into multiple PCs, different operating systems, using different programs. They see the drive, but they can't read any data off of it.
Oh, that sucks. Dang. At least you have the achievement to prove that you
did it. Yeah, I mean, it was great. I mean, that was the last achievement I needed for Halo 3, was that overkill.
I still got 4 that I need for Halo 3.
And to the guys that helped me get the double kill with the Spartan laser, thank you. I'm just saying... I'm sorry I don't remember your names, but guys, I really appreciate that.
Those are always people you want to keep around whenever you find someone that's willing to help you out with something like an achievement, especially those achievements.
Well, this was random match, King of the Hill on Snowbound.
Okay.
I wasn't even trying for the objective. I went straight to the Spartan laser every time I spawned. I just hung around that general area the whole game. Well, up until I got the achievement. And I sat there and just waited for 2 people to get close enough together. I must have gone through, I think I was on my 3rd Spartan laser.
That's not too bad.
in that game, you got to keep in mind, I've been trying for like 6 months.
Ah, gotcha.
But yeah, these two guys had finally figured out, and we're halfway through, we're probably three quarters of the way through the game. And these two guys actually figured out what I was doing, and they just stood still on the hill, lined up.
Aw.
I'm like,
how nice.
I'm like, thanks. And I spent the rest of the match helping them defend the hill. I just sat back
fun and story.
I sat back on the, you know, the top of the mound, and just anybody that was going towards the hill, I started shooting them while they were in the hill.
I wish we heard more of those kinds of stories for Halo, because those are the kinds of stories that's like kind of makes you proud to be a Halo
fan. I mean, there are great people in our community. Unfortunately, there's a lot of jerks too, but you know, the great people that we have in our community are the reason I stay. As frustrating as, you know, the other ones are, because there are a lot of people in our community that just have huge hearts, like these two guys. They didn't have to do jack. All they had, you know, the only thing they needed to do was play the game type. You know, they didn't have to help me.
Yeah, true. Very true. Good on them. Whoever they are, good on you.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
I hope we get to see some of those kinds of stories with Halo Infinite. I need to at some point actually get my headset hooked up to where I can actually talk to people in chat.
I don't.
Because there's some people I've run across that are like, Willis has a headset, no one else responds.
Yeah.
And like during the game, they're actually helpful, even though no one else is there. Like they're calling out and they're trying to have a good time. Granted, there are people out there that are like, oh, you're a stupid person, blah, blah, blah. But there's every once in a while you come across a person that has a headset on and they're trying to find someone else with a headset. And
yeah, I would play with a headset on more often, but unfortunately I draw the jerks.
It's so interesting how that the way that Xbox Live started, and it was open lobby. Everyone had a headset, was trying to get other people together, the whole clan thing back in the day with Halo 2 and even in Halo 3. Like that's how you met people, was playing open mic in matchmaking, then teaming up together, playing together, joining a clan or a squad or a community.
Everyone on my friends list.
Yeah.
Every person on my friends list I've met in Halo matchmaking. Well, mostly matchmaking and custom games whenever I joined in.
Mm-hmm.
There's several of you,
you I've dragged met, into the Podtacular crew.
Through Podtacular just from playing the game nights when I first started, you know, coming by every Thursday night to play games.
Yep.
Or Wednesday night, whenever it was. Anyway,
I think it
back
was
in the day,
Thursdays. Yeah.
But it was, and then this guy named Dustnorm asked me to host a lobby one night. I'm like, why? Anyway.
And thankfully, he has never turned back since.
And regretted it ever since. Oh, never mind. No, I've had a blast. Halo has brought so much joy into my life that, you know, I really just can't tell you all of it, because it's just, it's a huge amount. Multiplayer has been, you know, it's given Halo its staying power. People that complain about multiplayer have no lives and should find something else to do. Yes, multiplayer has its problems. It's not a reason to stop playing it, because it's still fun. You know, I know people don't like Sprint. I know people don't like the armor abilities or the Spartan abilities or, you know, the weapon drops, or it doesn't matter. No matter
if it
what
really bothers you that much, there's other games to play. To be
the deal is, frank, if that bothers you, you're coming in looking for something to bother you. I've Which always enjoyed anybody. As frustrating and as infuriating as I get. If anybody's watched my streams, you know that I'm cussing myself out multiple times a match. yeah, if you swing by one of my streams, it's 18 plus for a reason. Nothing graphical, just it's not kid friendly.
No language filter.
Yeah.
No language filter. Yeah.
I still have fun. I still come back to it. Halo 5, you know, being the latest and greatest, has been the game, as far as multiplayer, that I've enjoyed the most. The pace of the game, the movement mechanics, the weapons, I just enjoyed all of it. There are things that I don't, that bother me. Spartan Charge is one of my nemesises. I liked it in the beta because you could counter it easily. But now
it actually carried some weight to it too.
Yeah. In the beta, Spartan Charge was easy to counter. If they were charging towards you, you just smacked them in the head and they died. That was the cost for using that Spartan Charge. So you had to be strategic with it. You had to literally catch somebody off guard. You couldn't just run around a corner and run them over. There was a consequence if you used it wrong. Now they don't have that consequence in there, and it bothers me that they removed it. Ground Pound, I've never really had a problem with it. It's an interesting movement mechanic for me. Rarely do I actually get killed by it. Don't get me wrong, I've been killed by Ground Pounds, but I get killed by Spartan Charge more than anything when it comes to the abilities. It doesn't
happen as often now. Unless it's in a custom game and it's designed around Ground Pounds.
Right. But, you know, overall, Halo 5 has been my favorite multiplayer. And if you hate it, well, that's your opinion. But it's kind of culminated between, it's got pieces of all the Halos in it in one way or another. Now, granted, some of it's highly modified and it's not really that recognizable, but all the games have led up to it. And I think it's really a lot of fun. You know, people praise Halo 3 for its matchmaking. Honestly, I think, in my opinion, it's the worst matchmaking, or not matchmaking. The matchmaking was great, mostly. I only met 50 short, you know, a few times. Unlike in Halo 2 when it was every other game. Mm. Or you had the guy trying to D-rank so he could get easy kills. Because, you know, that shows how good you are.
Yeah, no. That just no.
But as a package, Halo 5 has been the best iteration, in my opinion, yet. I will play Halo 5 over Halo 3 any day. Granted, I'll play any Halo matchmaking over Halo 3 any day. But of the, you know, the two popular, the really popular ones, which, I mean, I know Halo 5 is not that popular, but in comparison to the rest of the games, you know, there's Halo 3 and there's Halo 5. I'll take Halo 5 every time. There's only so much Halo 3 I can handle before it just really annoys me.
I will say with MCC and what they did to update the aiming mechanic in Halo 3 and basically standardize all of the control inputs and the aiming and movement mechanics across all the games, that has helped me enjoy Halo 3 a lot more than it did back in the 360 days.
Yeah, I can actually get a couple of kills now. But still, you know, even with all the improvements, it to me, I have not been able to figure out Halo 3 to save my life. And that's just me.
That bullet lead is very different compared to every other Halo game.
I've never been able to get my brain to realize what's going on the screen and adjust for it.
Yeah.
Is Halo 3 a bad game for it? Oh, hell no. It's just not my favorite. It's your favorite? I'm glad.
A lot of people love Halo 3. And there's good aspects to Halo 3.
Yes, there is.
It's just the aiming.
It just never clicked for me.
I think my favorite multiplayer experience is still Halo 2, but Halo 5 definitely gets me that multiplayer hype that Halo 2 has. I think just the pace of Halo 2 and the feel that it has. And Halo 5 multiplayer reminds me a lot of how Halo 2 felt to me. But whenever I go to MCC, playing Halo 2 or Halo 2 Anniversary, that's what I enjoy the most to play.
I liked Halo 2 after the patch. Before the patch. After the patch, it was good multiplayer.
I didn't really get a chance to play it pre-patch.
Count yourself lucky.
Or not on a consistent enough basis. I probably played it over at a friend's house at some point, but by the time I was fully into Halo and playing Halo at LAN parties and whatnot, it was already post most of the patches that were out for Halo 2.
I was in multiplayer the same day I got the game. I went through the Halo campaign playing it on normal. And then after I got done with that, I went straight into multiplayer and started, you know, playing multiplayer. Because, you know, I wanted to experience as much of the game as possible because I'd taken the day off for Halo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at that time, sure. I didn't have the opportunity to take a whole week off. I took that day off so I could have the whole day to play Halo. I mean, I was at Best Buy at 10 a.m. going, ding, 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 open, 10 o'clock.
As soon as they announce the week for Halo Infinite's release, I am probably requesting off at least a couple of days.
I've got 5 days saved. And I've already told my boss that like October to November, I'm going to disappear for a week.
We'll be cranking out so many videos that we'll be making more videos in that week than we've made in the past 3 years for Podtacular, possibly. Who knows?
And I do apologize for achieving Halo videos. I have several in the queue. I just haven't had the gumption to sit down and edit them. Right now I'm stuck on Halo 2 Metropolis and I get to record it yet again.
No. Really?
Yeah, yes, because somewhere my main point of view got corrupted. So,
you know, we can just manually animate the achievements.
No. It's not the achievements, it's the actual gameplay.
Oh.
The file actually the achievements, that's no big deal. That I understand. If I want the achievement pops, that's easy to do. It's just the gameplay got corrupted. So, dang me. Luckily, this one it's super simple to do. And of course, now that I've done it so many times, I can almost blindfold.
You've done it like what, 5 times already?
This will make 7.
Oh my gosh. How many gamer tags have you made now for all this stuff?
Total 4? Gamer tags I use is 8 now. I'm kind of wondering where Microsoft's going to cut me off. I'm almost tempted to just see how many I can make before they say nope.
I mean, as long as you have a different email address, you can create a gamer tag, right?
Well, every time I create a gamer tag, I create a new email.
Wow. I've got 3 total gamer tags for just myself.
Yeah. Like I said, the other one, it's not a big deal. I just got to sit down and do it. I have made some changes to my editing rig, so it will make the workflow a lot easier for me. So that'll be a big change. And I just got to get off my butt and get it going and get Halo 2 finished. And I do have some Halo Reach missions recorded. So as soon as I get done with Halo 2, we'll jump onto Halo Reach. I know I'm going backwards, but that's the way it was.
Well, you did Halo CE first.
Did CE. Then we did 5. Then I came back to Halo 2. Yes, I am way behind on what I
want. So you're just jumping different places.
Well, you know, I'm just mixing it up. I don't want to make it chronological or anything. Why would I do silly stuff like that? And then, you know, next then I'll be jumping to Halo Infinite
somewhere in there. Yeah,
eventually I'll get through that
campaign. Will right.
And no, I am not doing Spartan Assault or Spartan Strike.
I think that's understandable,
seeing that there's support forums about the end in the next 3 months or 6 months.
Well, so the support for those are not It's just the first-person shooter matchmaking stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Never mind. Sorry. I'm not trying
to... Halo Wars will still work. Yeah,
I'm sorry. I knew Wars was going to be okay. But yeah, I did the achievements once for that, and I'm not going to do them again.
And technically, you could still unlock the single-player achievements for 3 and 4 if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the multiplayer servers will be taken down.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Luckily, well, yeah, we need to get off our butts and do that.
Yeah, we do. I am thinking about also doing campaign run-throughs as a lead up to Infinite and starting that the 24th or the 31st. And what I'll probably do is basically do two games a month. So that'll get me through like Halo CE, Halo 2 in the first month, then Halo 3 in ODST next month, then Reach in 4.
Well, actually, if you really want to do it, you'll do the first two missions of Halo 2, stop, then go to ODST. So you'd be chronological.
Well, if I was doing chronological, I'd do Reach first.
I was just talking about Halo 2.
Okay. I think I might just do it per game. I think I might just do it release order.
Release order,
just
huh?
Just to keep things a little bit simpler. But then that gets me to Halo 5 in October. Yeah.
But anyway, since we were on the subject of achievements, definitely hit us up on our Discord. Let us know what Halo 3, Halo 4, Halo Reach 360 achievements you're looking for. And we're going to try to get together, get groups together to try to do a little achievement hunting, especially for the matchmaking ones, because those are the ones that everybody's really looking for. All the single player ones, if we run out of multiplayer ones, we'll help you get. But our main focus is trying to get the multiplayer ones done before the servers go offline.
And I think there's a few ODST ones that are multiplayer firefight ones as well. Like Endure.
Sorry, not helping.
You don't have to. No one's making you.
I did it once, but that was enough for a lifetime. Honestly, I can't do that one anymore. I cannot sit down for that long a time. I cannot spend 3 hours sitting playing a video game anymore. Because if I do, my legs turn into 90-year-old legs. Honestly, it's tough enough just doing the podcast.
I am thankful for the challenge in MCC. They made it where you could do it on heroic and not have to do it on legendary.
It was always on heroic.
Was it? Yes. Even on the 360?
Yep. Because Bungie actually made a point of pointing that out. They tried it on legendary and nobody could even come close.
Okay.
So it's heroic or higher. I would like to do the Halo 3 Ghost Run again. That would be fun.
That's fun. Yeah, that's fun.
Hoss, Beowulf, are you game?
I mean, we might have one of them returning here soon. Hint, hint.
So if anybody ever thinks that I know everything Dust has got in his brain, don't even.
Yeah, there is some stuff I mentioned on the podcast we did with 4chub when we made our announcement that apparently I thought I had talked to GT about at one point and didn't.
There's lots of stuff rattling around in that dome of his that...
there's a lot of crap flying around.
I guess he talks to himself a lot and then he thinks I'm there. I don't know.
Something gets disconnected somewhere along the way. Probably my fault somewhere. But yeah,
I'm almost to the point where I think every Monday I'm going to say, hey, Dust, anything new this week?
Honestly, you should probably start doing that just so I'm updating you on the
either essentials. That or I'm going to get a web-enabled shock collar.
What?
Really? New idea, Dust? Eek. You didn't tell me about it, Dust? Eek.
Oh, from me. Okay. I got you.
Yeah. Harry Cube was like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, we won't go there. So I know we kind of danced around the bush a little bit, but and we've talked a little bit about what some of our thoughts on what we've seen multiplayer wise for Infinite and how 343 is really trying to garner some of the legacy feel of Halo into the multiplayer experience and campaign. But I think for the most part, Big Team is probably one of the biggest things I'm looking forward to.
I definitely am.
And Super Fiesta has been one of those things from Halo 5 that's been really popular. And I'm wondering if that's going to carry over into Infinite.
Honestly,
or something like it.
From what I've seen so far, we're not going to have the crazy weapon types. We'll probably still have a Fiesta game type, but I just...
So they weren't there at launch.
Like I said, we haven't seen it yet.
Right.
There's a lot still to be reviewed. A lot still to be released.
Yes.
But from what they've shown so far, they've shown a pretty standard assortment of weapons. Granted, there's new weapons in there, but there's, you know, you haven't seen a Prophet's Bane. You haven't seen an Orphan. You haven't seen these just wild weapon types. Now, when they talk about Forge, I will be really interested to see if they talk about weapon and weapon types and or variation and then tweaks that you can make to weapons, things like that.
Okay. Got me intrigued.
I'm really interested to see what we're going to be able to do with custom game types, and possibly custom weapon types.
With the new engine, it might be vastly different than what we're used to.
Right.
I hadn't really thought about that.
Because, you know, we already know, well, we're pretty certain that Warzone's not returning because you have BTB 2.0. That's going to be the big group draw, the big social space. So, And we know we're not going to have anything like rec packs because they're going with the seasonal.
All the unlocks are customization only.
Yeah. They're doing seasonal model. I just really am wondering if Super Fiesta is going to return. I really, really hope it does, because right now, actually, of every game type in every Halo game, as infuriating as Super Fiesta is, it's also the funnest.
Yeah,
no matter what.
That's the party game mode. Yeah. That's the party mode.
I mean, that is the social game mode now, is Super Fiesta.
Yeah.
Right now, its only limitation is maps. That's it.
Which we're getting a lot created for our tournaments to bring that around.
It also stems with the way Halo 5 was designed. It wasn't designed to be a BTB game. So Super Fiesta Big Team, kind of lackluster, but it's still fun.
Especially to have the native support for Big Team coming into Infinite is going to be a nice refresh no matter what.
Yes. But yeah, that is the one thing I'm really hoping returns from Halo 5 is Super Fiesta. You don't have to make the weapons available anywhere in game. I really don't care if you can forge them on maps. Just as long as I can play that one game mode.
Yep.
That's it.
Make a rotational playlist at the start. And then once population starts to die down, because there's new games out for the people that kind of just go through the popular games, give us that Super Fiesta slot in social.
No, it needs to be there at launch. I need my Super Fiesta.
Every launch playlist for Halo has been some kind of small focus group that they're trying to funnel people into to, like, say, this is our experience. And then they kind of branch out after that.
I just hope they don't go to such a narrow focus as they did with Halo 5. It needs to be a lot broader than that.
Yeah. Halo 5 was three game modes and a slight modification on one with Breakout.
Mm-hmm.
The concept behind Breakout was interesting.
Breakout was fun for about 30 minutes for me.
Yeah.
And then it got old. It was like
the single life rounds is an interesting change and mix up to Slayer. as it is for Halo. It just didn't stick.
Yeah, I have all kinds of breakout commendations that I will never get. I don't think I have a single breakout commendation that is past level 2.
I don't even think you can anymore, because you have to get it in either, like, when the playlist rotates in, the, like, X-term playlist. Mm-hmm. I don't think that playlist even exists anymore. Oops.
Well, then 343 should just give us all the commendations. Anyway.
What, like how they gave us all recon?
Can I have recon, please? Nope.
I do hope there is something that's special like that. And I mean, they've done that with some of the nameplate stuff and some of the armors in Halo 5, where it's like, okay, like, this is for people that have really made an impact. Like, the Forgers have their specific nameplate and customization in Halo 5 that says, no, like, they've put the work in to have a map featured in official matchmaking.
Yes. And I think that stuff needs to still be there. The whole recon thing, it was great. The blue flame that Bungie did, that was, I remember people chasing that forever. How do I get the blue flame? You work for Bungie. Oh, I mean, I've met so many people, and I've actually matched with Bungie employees with the blue flames on. I'm sure I've matched with more that just weren't wearing them, but you know, people would see that. Well, how do I get the blue flames? You work for Bungie.
Tough.
Yeah. But stuff like that, I think that's kind of stuff. It's not required for the community, but it's a nice flex for the community.
Yeah. It adds a little bit. I don't know if value is necessarily the right word, but it adds a certain kind of class isn't the right word either. There's a word in there. I think you know what I'm trying to go for, but I don't know.
Words are hard. Well, it's a prestige. I mean, it's an accomplishment to get something like that. Even getting the Ice Unicorn skin for matching up with Bungie or with 343 on their game nights. Mm-hmm. That's an achievement. I mean, that is something a lot of people look for and don't ever get the chance to do. I'm one of them. I will probably never get the opportunity to actually get that nameplate or skin, because they only seem to hold those while I'm working.
Yeah, time doesn't match up.
And the bosses really don't want me playing Halo at work. Not that I want to play Halo on a 6-inch screen anyway. I mean,
you could try.
Well, I have, and I have played it on my phone. I have not played matchmaking on my phone, and nor will I play matchmaking on my phone.
I will say, whenever I tried xCloud on a phone at E3, that was the best it's ever been, because obviously it's like dedicated connection and whatnot, and it's actually there, it was responsive. At home is a whole different experience.
Honestly, I've had pretty good luck with it. A couple of months ago, well, it's been more than that, but earlier this year, my wife had an episode and we had to take her to the hospital. So I was sitting in a hospital chair for 8 hours, and I literally, between the doctor's visits, which, you know, they only come see you every, you know, 4 days, I would sit there and I would just sit there goofing around in Destiny. But, you know, I wasn't doing anything. You know, I wasn't doing any matchmaking. I wasn't doing anything where motion was critical, because I knew I was on a mobile connection, but I was playing, you know, on my Xbox at home, and it was very playable. It took me about 20 minutes to adjust to the input lag. Well, to get it to where I could adjust for it, I should say. Mm-hmm. And you know, once I really got settled down into it, I literally sat there and played Destiny for, you know, that entire time. Just using an Xbox controller with the, you know, the little screen clamp. Of course, my wrists were like dead by the end of the day, because sitting there holding the controller with a phone stuck to it. Yeah, that's a good idea, dumbass.
Hunched over and start getting neck pains.
What? No, I've got the controller in my hand stuck up to my face because I can't see crap. If anybody ever sees me, my glasses, I just, no. Especially when on a 6-inch screen, I'm like, anyway, I know this is audio podcast and you have no idea what I just did, but imagine sticking your phone to, like to the end of your nose, because that's pretty much how I was playing. It worked just fine.
Yeah, that's probably about the equivalent of I got a 24-inch screen and you get the same screen size as, basically 6 inches from my face.
Yeah. But yeah, and that it works. Will I jump into competitive Halo with it? No. I won't even do social matchmaking with it.
I mean, I can see something like campaign, but definitely matchmaking.
But yeah, it has a place. It's not for matchmade activities like that. But if you just say you were playing Halo Wars and you just wanted to goof around in campaign, or even you just wanted to goof around against the AI in multiplayer, it worked just fine. You could sit there and work on your turtle technique.
Fair enough.
But overall, so, my entire history of multiplayer has been a positive one between the Bungie and the 343 games. They all have a place in my heart that, I've had fun in all of them. So I'm looking forward to what Halo Infinite brings to those memories.
Yeah. I think each Halo has innovated in some way for the multiplayer space, whether it's Halo CE really introducing the twin stick shooter on the console, Halo 2, online matchmaking, dual wielding, Halo 3, the equipment, the custom games, the custom maps, save films. Like, Machinima really boomed with Halo 3. Halo Reach kind of took a lot of what Halo 3 did and just took it to the next level with a insane foraging capability.
So long as you liked Gray.
As long as you liked Gray. The near-perfect customization options for your Spartan. Even going into campaign for that as well. Mm-hmm. Halo 4, I felt, was probably the least innovative.
Well, it innovated just in a different way. And just in a way that wasn't appreciated by the Halo community.
Yeah. Pushing Halo multiplayer forward, I felt like it did the least to push Halo multiplayer forward.
Well, it did.
And that's just my personal opinion.
It did more for the Spartan abilities than it did anything else.
Yes, I'd agree with that.
And that's where it really changed things. Reach started it, and Halo 4 pushed it just a little bit further down the road, refined it a little bit better. Did it bring in anything new? No, it didn't bring anything really new. But they tried some things in Halo 4 that, some of it worked, some of it didn't. They took out the D-scope mechanic, which, honestly, it did hurt gameplay. Not being D-scoped when you're zoomed in with a sniper rifle and getting shot, that actually hurt the gameplay. But overall, it was still a fun game to play. It's not the worst thing that ever happened to Halo. But they were trying to innovate with it. It just didn't work out to the degree it did in other games.
Yeah. Halo 3 ODST, Firefight. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the first game to do that kind of horde mode, but Halo 3's adaptation of it and implementation was loved by the Halo community.
And turning the whole player mechanic upside down by turning you into an ODST and not this unstoppable Spartan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Give you a whole new appreciation for
health packs.
You're playing as a Spartan. And then Halo 5 is just a massive culmination of a lot of that stuff. Mm-hmm. You have Forge that is humongous, and Warzone, which is, I think, the first time we've really had a PvPvE experience in Halo.
Yeah, and I will say that probably had a lot to do with the influence of bots in Halo Infinite. Inspiring them to bring that AI into a setting that can help a player. Not necessarily for a game mode. I understand that. But to bring something in to help the people that are new to Halo. Like I was in 2001 and couldn't figure out which way was up, down, left, right on the stick.
Yep. I love the fact that that's one of the things that they focused
right.
on.
But
is introducing new players in through a training mode. Because like that was perfect for Titanfall. I think that was one of the major successes the Titanfall 1 had was that training mode.
That's as far as you I ever got to go through Titanfall.
I played the heck out of Titanfall when like as that was a launch title, that game I poured hours into. It was such
I played, a fun yeah. game. And you know, this is where our tastes differ, but I made it through the training mode that you know they throw you into right when you launch the game. And after that I was done. I said, okay. I had enough. And I haven't played the game since.
After about 3 or 4 months, it got sweaty.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
The whole time up until that point, it was mm-hmm. very fun. Very fun to play. And now they're making a killing with Apex.
Yeah. And it's another game that... okay. Fun.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Not every game is for everybody.
There's a little bit of every Halo in Infinite. And I'm so far what they showed me is they're respecting the traditional Halo stuff, but they're still pushing boundaries. They're not just resting on their laurels. They're trying to get, you know, they're trying to improve the game. And from what I see, they've done a good job so far. Yeah, I won't know until I actually get to play the game for sure. But what I've seen so far, which has been basically highlight reels. It looks
pretty much.
It looks great.
And it sounds like very soon, if you're signed up for Insider Flighting, we'll get to try it out ourselves.
So make sure you get signed up. Let them know if you're doing Xbox or if you're doing PC. If you're doing PC, make sure you've uploaded your, what do they call that?
DX Diag.
Which I probably need to update mine because I don't remember which one I uploaded.
Probably good to re-upload just in case.
Well, I don't know if it was on my workstation or my laptop.
Either way, doesn't hurt to re-upload.
No, definitely. And I went and made sure that I was all signed up. I just don't know if I got all the information in there correctly as far as that.
Well, just make sure you go to HaloInsider.com and make sure all your information is up to date.
Check the boxes.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for this one. I think we are both very excited for what Halo Infinite Multiplayer is going to bring. And I think we'll continue to do these kinds of podcasts. We'll talk about different facets of Halo that we really like. I think next time we'll maybe dive into some of the character stuff. So maybe some of the supporting characters like
Johnson.
Arbiter,
Johnson, Hood,
Johnson, Miranda Keys, Pete Stacker, Johnson. So, if you guys have any ideas for what you would like us to talk about, please hit us up on Discord or Twitter, and we'll talk about those. We'll start asking for people's inputs on things as we come up with what topics we're going to be talking about. We are going to be having a book podcast within the month. So we will be doing... Shoot, I already forgot what the book is called, and I'm currently reading through it. The first one of the Detroit Denning ones, of the Blue Team ones.
Oh, that one? Are you sure?
It's Silent Storm? Silent Storm. Yes. So, thanks everyone for tuning in. You can catch us on our social medias. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I need to be posting on Facebook and Instagram a lot more. Twitter has pretty much been it for the last bit. But we do have all of those socials that you can follow us on. We also have our Discord, which is where most of the community hangs out. And it's also where you can get the details on our Fraggin' Fridays, which is our game night on Friday nights hosted by GT. Those happen at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and we put a poll up in our Discord for playing either Halo 5 or MCC. MCC has the benefit of crossplay, where Halo 5 is only on Xbox. We've had a lot of people voting for Halo 5. I don't think there's been a single vote for MCC since Season 7 launched, so take that into consideration as you vote. But we do have that open on our Discord, so go vote. If there's a tie, GT will make the executive decision on which one we play.
Flip a coin!
Maybe some MCC, since we haven't played that in who knows how long.
Like I said, coin flip. I don't know flip. How it's going to turn out.
We'll see.
Anyway, we probably... at least
no more tormenting with Super Fiesta.
Well, so, maybe
not as much. Maybe
you have to admit it's kind of fun.
It kind of is. I like it when the teams are actually balanced.
Super Fiesta, you don't need balance. I need a weapon.
There is no balance. You got weapons. You got a plethora to choose from after about 2 minutes of playing.
The one key thing that I've learned about Super Fiesta is never bother picking up a weapon, because you pick it up, you die. It happens every time.
There's some weapons that are nice to have.
Yeah, they're nice to have, but generally when you pick them up, they're empty, and then the guy that just came around the corner just, boom, you know.
I mean, yeah, if there's like a gavel or a bane, people go to those pretty quickly.
Yeah, and that's where everybody else's gun is pointed. That is one good thing about the despawn system in Halo 5. It was built for Super Fiesta.
It's still way too quick.
I know, but it's still built for Super Fiesta. Make that answer despawn quick.
I wish that was something that you could
change,
modify. Yeah. Maybe in Infinite. There's a request. There's a request in Infinite. Let's have the ability to modify weapon despawn rates.
Yeah, I wanted it set there for the whole match. All 3.5 hours. Every weapon that drops.
If he had a custom like Indiana Jones or zombie type match, maybe you do want those weapons to be there the whole time.
No, can you imagine playing, just theoretically, Super Fiesta Flag on Blood Gulch with no weapons despawning? Can you imagine what Blood Gulch would look like?
Well, so there will always be obviously be some kind of upper threshold.
I understand. No, I'm just hypothetical.
Okay.
Can you imagine what the map would look like by the end of the game?
It'd just be a slosh of guns you're walking through from one side of the canyon to the other.
It'd be hilarious if it actually affected your sprint where you couldn't run anymore.
You're like tripping over weapons as you're like you're falling over. Your shots are wildly inaccurate.
Anyway,
that would be funny.
We'll leave you with that thought for this week.
Yeah, no kidding. And then Achieving Halos is returned on Sundays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. We're currently going through some of the Season 7 challenges in MCC. And then we've also got the podcast taking place at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursdays. Those are recorded live on Twitch, and our game nights are streamed there as well, so come follow us. You can support the show in a number of different ways. You can be a Twitch subscriber, or you can just ask Pence to give you a Twitch subscription. I'm sure he would be more than happy to give you one if you ask kindly.
One or 20?
Since he seems to give them out like candy. But you can subscribe to us on Twitch. You can also support us through Patreon by becoming a patron. We have Confal, Pins, Double Dipping over in Patreon, and Prestige that are supporting us over on Patreon. Prestige will be getting on the podcast probably within the month as well, maybe a month and a half, for the reward that he's earned being a guest host on the podcast. And then we've also got PayPal, if you would like to support us directly that way as well. Go over to podtaggler.com/donate, and you can give monetarily that way if you so choose. Another small way you can help out is by boosting the Podtaggler Discord server. We're in there pretty much just for the community. Sometimes we have Achieving Halo that we'll do in there through the voice chat, and there's some other chats that happen in there sometimes, but if you would like to. You can boost the Discord server as well. All these contributions have actually led to us being able to have a money prize for the tournament that we are hosting. So thanks to everyone who has contributed either through Twitch subscriptions or the Patreon or other ways of supporting the podcast. You are the reason that we're able to actually hold this tournament in the first place.
Mostly pins.
Pins is probably like 60% of the Podtacular fund that comes outside of just me and GT paying for things. But we appreciate everyone's support, even if you just share the podcast with friends or other people in your gaming circles or Halo friends. Come shoot them over here, see if they like what they hear, and you might gain some more people watching us on Twitch every week or joining us on our game nights. The more the merrier.
Most definitely.
But we'll be back next week with another podcast. And until that time, keep on fracking them trucks.